Blessing, Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you again for your mercy, Lord God. We thank you that we are seeing another Sunday morning, Lord God. Many people did not see today, Lord God. So we thank you that you have kept us, that you've blessed us, Lord God. Father, again, we thank you for the freedom that we have to worship you, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would strengthen your people, Lord God. Strengthen us in your word. Strengthen us in your Holy Spirit. I pray that we pray, Lord God. My prayer is I pray that we pray, Lord God, so that we would be strengthened in these days, Lord God, that we would stand, Lord God. Oh, God, so we thank you and we praise you and we give you all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we're continuing our lesson on the rock. Last week we did living this name and just reviewing, you know, just what... some of the people of God have been through in just living this name. We talked about David, and we talked about Jeremiah, and we talked about just the different aspects of the rock, how the rock just does so much for us. You know, we talked about a few weeks ago how the rock is like home. You know, you come home, and you just can just exhale, and you can put on the comfortable shoes, and you can just finally let down your guard. Well, that's what the rock is, because it's a place where you can feel safe, a place where Christ will minister to you with his love. His love for you is unconditional. And then we went on to talk about living this name and just talking about there's different aspects when it comes to living this name. There's a protection that comes with the rock, but there's also a rebuking and a chastisement and a correction that comes with the rock. Sometimes your God will have you in the cleft of the rock because somebody's praying for you and you have beaten that rock, trying to get out of that rock, but you can't. Nothing will work out for you. Those are those days when nothing works out. You have tried and tried and nothing works out. Folks, you're in the cleft of the rock and it's God's love. He says, no, if I let you out, you will die. If I let you out, you know, you will kill yourself. So I'm going to leave you right here in the cleft of the rock until you are ready to pray. Because sometimes we are so arrogant and so prideful and so jealous and so full of so much stuff that he keeps us in the cleft of the rock until we're ready to pray, until we're ready to repent. And that was the case with Israel and Jeremiah. When Jeremiah was told by God to pray no more. I mean, boy, that's something. When God Almighty says, pray no more, he's like, I've got this now, okay? I've given them a chance. So Jeremiah, don't pray anymore because I'm going to take this now. You know, that is really some unusual place to be.
Do you have another lesson?
That's an unusual place to be when God tells you to pray no more. So we don't want to get there. But if we get there, you know, God will pursue you. He'll pursue you to a place where he will get you to turn from your ways. That's what happened with Israel. Then we went on to Daniel and how Daniel, another time of the rock appearing in the lives of Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fiery furnace, they were standing in the rock. And sometimes even though the pressures of the world and the pressures of the culture that you're in is pushing you in a certain way, they were gonna stand in the rock. And as they did, the Lord Jesus appeared. I mean, it's like one looks like the Son of God, he said, you know, that protected them in the fiery furnace as he protected Daniel in the lion's den. So you can stand in the rock. We talked about the rock is a place of protection. And the rock is a place where the deep parts of you can call to the deep parts of God. There comes a place where human beings can't minister to you anymore. Okay, there's a place that only God can minister to you. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Like, there are no words anymore. There is just the spirit-to-spirit connection. And that's the only thing that's going to help you now, is that I need a connection with God's Spirit, because there's nothing that, no, nothing else can be said at this point. And that's where the rock, when you're in the cleft of the rock, when you're in the rock will minister to the deep parts of you. And we quoted that scripture from Psalm 42:7 that says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. And when his waves and his billows go over you, you are refreshed and you are restored.
Was that on page 147?
Psalm 42:7.
Was that on page 127?
So I have different page numbers. Actually, it's not in your notes at all. I added that. So just look it up and just record the scripture. So today we're going to go into praying this name, the Rock. And our key scripture is from Psalm 55:8, and it's from the Amplified, and it said, I would hurry to my refuge, my tranquil shelter far away from the stormy wind and from the tempest. And our first point says, and because those storm clouds mentioned earlier often appear well before a storm, we should take the time in prayer to scan the horizon of the day for the telltale signs of difficulty. This is from the book. This is why you need to pray ahead of time. Because often, as we keep talking about, if you pay attention, God will warn you ahead of time. As I have grown in the Lord, I have found he always is warning me that something's coming. You need to start praying because something's brewing and something's coming and something's festering. So you need to pray now. So God will tell you if you pay attention. It's amazing how we have these earthly lessons that have spiritual significance, like a storm. You know, the wonderful thing about living in Colorado, you can see a storm coming from miles and miles away. You can see it coming. I can even see, I live out in Pueblo West, and you can even see when it's missing us and going around us. And that's the way God will do it. And it's like these lessons that God will show you. If you pray, the storm will miss you. If you pray ahead of time, but if you just watch the storm and let it come and let it come, or try to use your own human earthly means, your fleshy means to deal with the storm, oh, then you're headed for some problems. And I'm getting ahead of myself on the lesson. So let me, because we're going to hit on that. So when you see a storm coming, you know how to prepare for it, and you pray before the storm gets there. So the next point says, our plans for the day should always begin with prayer, especially when you see and or sense trouble brewing. We should be proactive and not reactive prayer warriors. I want to say that again. We should be proactive and not reactive prayer warriors. Pray before it gets there. That's being proactive. You're getting prepared. Oh, I see this coming. Oh, I've seen this before. Sometimes when you study human behavior enough, you kind of know when something's about to happen in somebody. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna pray for Sally now, because I see that look in her eye, and I know that she's headed down this way. Be proactive. Don't wait until Sally blows up, and then let's pray. After we've had our argument, after we've had our knockdown drag out, then we pray. That's reactive praying. And yes, you can pray after it happens. Absolutely. But how wonderful that we have a Savior that is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows what's coming, and he will warn his children. Listen, you need to pray now. So let's be proactive prayer warriors and not reactive prayer warriors. Proactive warriors pray ahead of time. They are prepared spiritually before the storm hits. Therefore, they suffer little to no damage when it comes. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, it's going to happen because we live on planet Earth. We live on a fallen planet, so it's going to happen. But how nice is it to know ahead of time and to pray so when it hits, we suffer little to no damage when it happens? We can easily operate in the strength and wisdom of God because we prayed ahead of time. See, that's the key piece. See, sometimes that prayer is not just for the person you're praying for. That prayer is for you. So you're not going to act out when it happens. So your emotions are not all overboard, and you're reacting in anger and reacting in strife and all these other emotions and, you know, demons all in your ear, and you don't have any, you're not prayed up to resist. Folks, get ahead of this. It's a gift of the children of God. You have this. So tap into this, what the Lord has given you. The weapons of your warfare that he's given you. So let's hit on proactive warriors have their armor already on and securely fastened when the winds of the storm are at its strongest. Mm-hmm. I mean, have you ever trying to put on your boots in the middle of a snowstorm? You're in a snowstorm and you're barefoot. You know, and you're trying to find your boots and the wind is blowing all in your face and, you know, the snow's burying your boots and that's the way we are. We're trying to find our armor when we're in the middle of a storm. And some of us wait till we're just down for the count, going down for the third time before we think, oh man, I should call on Jesus. Oh my God, I'm a child of God. Jesus, help me. I'm going down for the third time, please. Wouldn't it be nice if we thought about him so much that when we saw it coming, we went immediately to him? As the people say, you don't go to the phone, you go to the throne. As soon as you see it, okay, time to pray first. Before I do anything, it's time to pray. It will make such a tremendous difference in your life. You're talking about having a life of peace. It will happen if you learn to pray before the storm gets to you. Go to the rock before. You know, the rock that stands. I love our picture from last week in, from Living This Name. And I love that picture of the tower and the waters around that tower. And that person, I don't know, that little dot in the door, that's a person standing there. You know, just safe from the storm. Storm's here, but hey, you know, tower, I'm in the rock. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be ready. It says, therefore, they are ready to endure as they are tuned into the Holy Spirit and their hearts are ready to obey. Your heart has to be ready to obey. Remember this free will thing. You know, it creeps up all the time, over and over again. You know, just because you've given your life to Jesus, he didn't take away that free will. You have to choose him over and over again. So you have to prepare your hearts ahead of time in prayer so that you're ready to obey. In prayer, their arguments have been settled and they have made the decision. When you pray, the arguments have been settled. I don't know if you guys have had arguments with God. I have arguments with God. Why do I have to be the one to apologize after all me? And why do I have to? Why? Just have all these arguments with God. But when you pray, oh my goodness, he does a change in you. He shows you stuff in his word that just breaks you. And you're like, when it's all said and done, it says, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thou will, thy will. The Holy Spirit is all over you. And the Holy Spirit has gotten you ready. And now you're ready to obey. The storm is now upon you. And you've already prepared your heart. The argument has been settled. And now you're ready to obey. You've made the decision, I'm going to obey. David made the decision to face Goliath. Moses had to make the decision to go back to Egypt and face Pharaoh. He wasn't praying when he got there. He prayed and had this whole experience with God before he even set out to go back to Egypt to face Pharaoh. Boy, Jesus would go to the cross, wouldn't he? I just remember that prayer in Gethsemane. Do y'all remember that prayer? He was sweating blood because he knew what was coming. You know, unlike the rest of us, he knew the details of what he was going to face. And he prayed, Father, if there be any way, let this cup pass from me. And he went into prayer even more. And then he came out saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, he was totally human. He was totally God and totally human. So that human part had to submit to God before he went to the cross. So by the time that those soldiers showed up, he was ready. He was ready to go all the way for you and for me. Peter would preach after being warned not to. Peter was ready. They had that upper room experience. They were in prayer. And remember, the Holy Spirit showed up with cloven tongues of fire, And Peter was ready to start the church of Jesus Christ because of prayer, because he was praying. I mean, the prayer, I can't emphasize it enough how much of a difference it will change you from the inside out. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I mean, not just in my own life. I was talking to a young lady yesterday, and I remember her years ago, and all she was just doing everything she was big enough to do. You know, and then yesterday, it was just this divine appointment. We were sitting and we were talking, and the things that she shared, I never even knew she had this gift. She had this gift of dreams, and she was telling me about dreams that God was giving her. And these dreams have made her pray more, and her life, she said, I'm done with that. I'm done with all the stuff I used to do. I got to get my life right with Jesus. I got to get it right. And it happened because she was praying. God was giving her dreams, and she just went into prayer. And I was like sitting there like, oh my God, is this the same person that was doing this and was doing that and was doing, yeah. Jesus will change people. If you would just pray. I don't care what your hang up is. You know, you might still have appetites for certain things. Like, Jesus, I want to give it up, but I'm going to prayer. Just get a consistent prayer life, and I'm telling you, he'll take the taste away from you. And you'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe I used to. And you fill in that blank, okay? But Jesus will change you. So Peter was going to preach, and Peter preached. Remember Peter before? The Holy Spirit, and Peter after the Holy Spirit made such a difference in him. Your notes go on to say, they have submitted their flesh ahead of time to their Lord. These are the ones that no longer have to go back and apologize for their bad behavior and their loss of temper. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, I got tired of having to go back and apologize. I got tired. Like, man, Lord, I did it again. I talked too much. Shouldn't have said it. You know, but when you pray ahead of time, this will not be the case with you. You don't have to go back all the time and like, you know, I'm sorry I said that, you know, because you prayed ahead of time. These are the ones that have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. He's rooting for you. He's rooting for you. That's why he shed his precious blood, so you could overcome. Because they have subdued their flesh in prayer and through the Holy Spirit before the storm came. And now they can stand in the rock. You can stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can stand like Daniel. You can stand like Peter. And the people of the early church, you can stand like them. Because you have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. This was the case with Daniel, who prayed 3 times each day and was able to stand in the den of lions. And how was he able to do that? Because he prayed his name, the rock. The rock. That's how you stand in the storms, folks, is in the rock. You stand in the rock, and the rock is in you. You know, and nothing, nothing can take down the rock. Nothing takes down the rock. The scripture says in John 16:33, in the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. Wow, that's a twist, huh? Be filled with joy. I can be courageous and confident and undaunted, but do you want me to be joyful too? But let's go on. He says, I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, past tense, is accomplished. My victory is abiding, meaning the victory is not going to fade in time. You know, sometimes a nation may win a victory for a season before their enemies rise up with a stronger army and come back and overtake them, but not with Christ. His victory is abiding forever and ever and ever and ever. In this scripture, Christ is laying out the status of life on earth. See, I was reading this, I was like, oh, this is the status of our life on earth. Number one, you will have problems. You will have distress and you will have suffering. Okay, that's a given. He told you, you will have tribulation. Number two, you can be courageous and joyful. Wow, that was like, and joyful? Yes, you can be joyful. Because your peace is in Christ. He's got this. He said he's going to work it out for your good. So boy, that's something to be joyful about. You're going to be better off after the situation than you were before the situation. That's why you can be joyful. That's why I'm like, oh yes. You know, as the Apostle Paul said, I glory in tribulation. That one used to throw me for a long time. Glory in tribulation? What are you talking about? But now I get it. He said, because after it, I get a greater level of glory in my life. Because I've come through it, I'm stronger, I'm more capable, I'm better. God can trust me with blessing now because I've gone through the fire and I trusted him. Don't you know God is watching? He's like, I'm going to see if you're going to come through this because I got a blessing for you on the other side of it, but I can't trust you yet. Let me see how you come through it. Now, he's Alpha and Omega. He knows that you're going to fail 53 times before you finally make it through. But he's rooting for you every single time that you're going to make it through. So number one, you will have problems. Number two, you can be courageous and joyful. And number three, he has overcome anything that can happen to you on earth. So that is our current status right now, today, September 18th, 2016. That is our status. We're going to have problems, but we can be courageous and joyful. And number three, he has overcome anything that we are going to deal with. One day we're going to be released from the sufferings of this world. But for now, folks, we can rest in the rock. One day it's going to end. This is going to be over one day. One way or another. Either Jesus is going to return or we're going to leave this earth and transition. But for now we rest in the rock. We can depend on the rock to keep us. So as you pray his name in the rock, your note says the Holy Spirit will make you aware of approaching storms. And if you listen and be obedient to his instructions, you will be prepared and able to withstand the tall waves coming your way. These waves are tall, folks. These waves are bigger than you. He knows it. It's bigger than you. And I love God because God let the tall waves come your way on purpose. I believe it has to be on purpose because he's in control of everything. Did you ever wonder why? Because he's like, I'm bigger than this. You're not. So I need to see if you're going to rest in the rock. Mm-hmm. So he allows it on purpose. So, you know, if you don't have enough money to pay the bill, he knows. I'm going to see if you're going to rest in the rock. Isn't it something? You know, I'm like, because you wonder, I'm like, why did you let this happen to me? You know I couldn't. Because I'm here. Because I have overcome the world. And I need you to believe that. So I let the tall wave come your way to see if you will rest in me. It happens deliberately. It happens on purpose. God hasn't forgotten you. God is watching you. You are under his magnifying glass. When you are going through trials, you are under his magnifying glass. He's watching closely. And God is not only looking at your behavior, he's looking at your heart. See, that's the difference with God and people and even Satan. Satan cannot see what's going on in your heart. God does. And he knows when you're terrified, but you do it anyways. You do it anyways. As Joyce Meyer says, you do it afraid. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is that you do it. You do it afraid. That's courage. And God watches that. And I think it's very dear to his heart when you're doing it when your heart is broken, when you're doing it when your heart is fearful. You're in the rock. I'm going to stay in the rock. My heart is broken because of the situation. My heart is fearful because of the situation. But Lord, I'm going to stand here in the rock. I'm not going to react like the enemy would want me to react, like people are telling me to react and do this and do that. But Lord, I'm going to stand here in the rock. I'm going to pray in the rock. I'm going to believe in the rock. So it happens on purpose. He allows it as he's watching. Joseph saw the coming of the famine. God shows you things ahead of time. Daniel, he gave the interpretation of the handwriting on the wall. He showed Jeremiah the attack of Babylon. And Mary and Joseph escaped into Egypt because they were warned. God warns you. As I said, the rock. Pray. Pray. Jeremiah was praying. Daniel was praying. People, pray. God is showing you things. Pay attention. Dreams. People saying things to you. Pay attention. Lord, what did that mean? Why did I run into this person today? Why, Lord? And he'll tell you things because someone has to pray for them. Because they're not going to be here next week if somebody doesn't pray for them. I mean, God has prompted me. Pray for this person. Pray for. You know, don't be in such a hurry every day that you miss the ministry that he has in front of you every day. Pray. Pray for that person that cut you off on the road. That's a hard one. That's a tough one. Now I've gone too far, right? But when you think about it, you know how he has us, he has his people all over the earth, you know, and that person that's cutting you off, that's in such a hurry, or that person that may be angry, racing off to God knows where, and they cut you off, and you know, the Lord would just have a, let them cut off my child, because my child is going to pray. My child is not going to curse like this other person. Mm-hmm. My child is going to pray for that person. Right? I'm just putting in your mind the things that happen to us every day that sometimes we miss. Ministry doesn't have to be I'm talking to the person. It could just be I'm praying. I'm praying. I'm in the rock. I don't have to be shifted by what's happening in the world. You cut me off and yeah, I should be upset, but no, I'm going to pray. Lord, I pray for that person. I don't know what's going on in their mind, you know, but they just cut me off with no signal. So something could be going on right now, Lord. They could be angry and headed to do some harm to somebody. Lord, I pray. So many opportunities to pray. We're in our community. I mean, can't you think of them? I'm thinking about just, oh, Lord, forgive me. You know, the hateful cashier. The coworker. Oh, man. Prayer, prayer, prayer in the rock. You're in the rock. Your emotions are in the rock. You're not taking revenge and you're not, Lord, I pray for them. Who's praying? God always said, who's praying for them? You're angry, talking about them under your breath, but who's praying for them?
The kid that drives by on a motorcycle going.
Yes.
Lord.
Yes. Lord, protect them. Protect the little ones playing outside. That they may just take their life. There's so much to pray for, people, that God will put in the path of his children. Because we're in the rock. We're protected. I'm in the rock. But Lord, I'm praying. Keep my mind. I'm in the rock. I'm praying the rock. The rock is in me. I don't have to be swayed by what people are doing. But Lord, I'm going to pray and I'm going to pray that you would save this world. There are countless stories of men and women who God prepared before storms and overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And you can too. You can too. That's why that morning prayer is so important. Before you head out to that day, pray, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see the world clear in clarity, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Lord, let me see the world in clarity so I'll know how to pray today so you can work through me. So our next point, conversely, reactive warriors only pray when they are already in the storm. They react to the storm instead of prepare for the storm. They will call on God only after everything and everyone else has failed them. They don't see the importance of a consistent prayer life and have therefore missed the warnings of the coming storms. As I said, as I have grown in the Lord, he has prepared me for stuff. Even stuff I did not want to face because it was going to break my heart. But he prepared me. He gave me a warning. There's a storm brewing. And he let me know. And he would even confirm it. Okay. He said, go into prayer. So when it comes, you'll be prepared to respond in my spirit and not in your emotion. Their armor has not been checked or strengthened in the word. Therefore, the righteousness, faith, and peace may elude them. It's there. It's available. His faith, his peace, his righteousness is there, but it will elude you because your armor hasn't been checked. And I want you to go through the armor of God again. Just go through it. Truth. Breastplate of righteousness, meaning I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm reminded that breastplate of righteousness. The helmet of salvation is on the head. I'm thinking like a believer. I'm not thinking like someone that does not know Christ. I got the helmet of salvation on. I'm different. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I got my helmet on. Breastplate of righteousness. Shoes of peace. I'm pursuing peace. I'm not going to pursue strife. Shield of faith. I'm going to believe you, Lord. I don't care what I see. I'm going to believe you. Above all. Hallelujah. And the sword of the Spirit. The word of God. The word of God. I got to get the word of God. It's not so much a sword on everybody else. A sword sometimes got to be on me. I believe you. I believe your word. I believe your word. I know what they're saying, Lord, but I believe your word. That sword of the Spirit. Check your armor. Make sure it's secure. Yes, Christ can rescue them, the reactive warriors, but usually by the time they think to pray, they have already suffered some loss and or damage to their lives and the people around them. The people around them have suffered damage, especially if you're a leader. Whether you're mom or dad, whether you're the leader of a business, if you're, boy, when you're not praying, there's a lot at stake. Not just you, because you're leading everybody. So we want to make sure that we're not causing unnecessary damage to our lives and the lives of others. So people of God, let this not ever be us again. That we're praying, we're reactive warriors. We must grow up in him. We must grow up. When we started class, I was playing that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And you know that verse that says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything, everything, everything to God. In prayer. It's so true. It's so true. The next point, in the greater the possible severity of the storm, the farther into the fortress we'll need to go. Sometimes you gotta fast and pray. Folks, you gotta let some things go. You gotta like, Lord, you know what? All bets are off. I need to let some stuff go because I need to fast and pray over this one. There will be times when we need to spend extra time resting and preparing in the rock. We prepare our mind, our will, and especially our emotions to submit to Christ. When Jesus taught us to pray, deliver us from the evil one, he was teaching us to assume a warfare stance in prayer, a prompt retreating into our strong tower, Christ himself. He taught us to pray, deliver us from evil. You want to be delivered from evil? Okay. You got to take the stance of the warfare. You got to fight with your spiritual weapons. Spend that extra time in prayer during those times when the winds are the strongest. Go deeper, deeper into the rock. That's what you do, isn't it? You know, when the storm is really, boy, you go deep into the rock. When you hear a tornado warning, you go to the safest part of your house, don't you? You go in the basement. Let's go in the basement. Let's go to the room that has no windows so we don't get distracted or nothing comes shooting in the window. The rock. Let's go to the place that's surrounded by rock because the winds are strongest now. I'm telling you, you go down. Yes, amen, Virginia. You go down into the foundation of the house. You go close to the foundation. They'll tell you when a tornado's coming, do not be on the second floor. You go down to the basement, the lowest part of that house, and you go into a closet. If you don't have a room without a window, you go into a closet where there are no windows. You know, when you think about the rock, the place of no distraction, the place where you're going deep. I just need to get with the rock. I don't want to be distracted by anything when the winds are strong. Chuck Swindoll said, roots grow deep when winds are strong. And it's so true. You want deep roots in Christ? When the winds are strong, go deep into the fortress and watch him bring you out. And you'll come out better and stronger. New level of glory for you now. Because you went into the rock. You went into the deep places of him. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe and set on the high. And set on high, far above evil. Good scripture. You run to him. Our next point, our prayer closets, beloved, are the places where all spiritual battles are really won. That's where it's really won. You know, somebody can have an attitude with you one day, you go into your prayer closet and watch the turnaround. Because that's where the battle, it's a spiritual battle. You're dealing with spirits, folks, you're dealing with spirits. And people that don't know Christ or people that are weak in the Lord, they don't even recognize it. But you do. Go in your prayer closet and rebuke those things in the name of Jesus. Lord, send down angels to do warfare and rebuke those demons so we can get on and do what we need to do. The battles are really won in the prayer closet. The real victory in all service is won beforehand in prayer. Service is merely gathering the results. That's by our friend S.C. Gordon that wrote Quiet Talks on Prayer. Isn't that beautiful? The real victory in all service is won beforehand in prayer. Service is merely gathering up the results. Isn't that something? It's just gathering up the results. When we pray before services or any time for somebody's salvation, and then they hear the word of God. You know, we pray over the word of God as it goes forth. And then the people come down. You know, when they're coming down, we're just gathering up the results. We're just gathering up the results of our prayers. You know, that everything happened the way God wanted it to happen. You know, the word came forth. The word was received. And now we're gathering up the results as the people respond to the word because those demons have been shifted out of there so that they can hear and receive the word of God. If you decide to go out to fight a spiritual battle unprepared, you will lose. And there's no exception. If you're going to fight a spiritual battle unprepared, you will lose every single time. You cannot fight Satan in fleshly terms. You will lose. Shadow boxing. You're going to miss every single time. He's been around. He's been around for a long time. Millions of years, you know. According to the word, as you talk about the word of God and the age of this planet and all, he's been around. So you think you've been here like, what, a second in comparison to him? And you think you're going to defeat him with your willpower? Not going to happen. He's been doing stuff before you, your daddy's got here. And most of all, our battles, and most of our battles are spiritual. Don't think it's just coincidence or it just happened or, oh man, I'm telling you, you got a target on your back. You got to see that and believe, you got a target on your back. Nothing is random. You will be like a blind soldier just beating the air with your sword, but never hitting the target. That's what you are. Never hitting the target. For it's written, this is Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's going to be by his spirit. It's not going to be by your might. It's not going to be by your power. It's going to be by his spirit that you're going to win anything. Next point, personally, privately, before the Lord, your rock. Examine your previous battles. Self-evaluate your preparedness in them. Look carefully at your previous defeats and victories. What made the difference? This is a good journaling exercise. Go back and think about some things. You know, think about the things, the failures, and think about the arguments, and, you know, like, Lord, did I pray? Lord, what made the difference? And as you journal these things, you can realize, God, I didn't invite you in so many times because I thought I had this. I thought I knew what was ahead. I thought I knew this person well enough. I thought, you know, this was my son. This was my daughter. This was that. You know, we make so many excuses for reasons we don't pray because we got this. We don't say it out loud. We just live it that way. But that's exactly what we think, that I got this. And we need to, and the enemy will come in the back door and you'll find yourself flat on your back. Seasoned warriors of prayer learn to fight their battles from the throne room of God, where we sit together with Christ in heavenly places. It's from Ephesians 2. Heavenly places are the high places where you are lifted up above the battle, the storms of life, into the safety of the rock. It would only be your arrogance that would keep you fighting, that should be, with your fleshly weapons. Our arrogance does that. Our intellect, your arguments, your status, and even your experience are no match for the evil one. You need the rock. You need the rock. Whatever you think you have going on for you, you need the rock. And Satan, he's clever, because he'll tempt you to fight with your earthly weapons. He'll come whisper in your ear, well, you know this, because you did this before. You know, this is nothing. You can handle this. You know, after all, you know, you got a master's in counseling. After all, you know, you've got this. Oh, after all. You got to recognize when the enemy's in your ear and he loves to puff you up. I'm telling you, I have to tell him to shut up sometimes. You're like, Karen, you got this. You got this, Karen. After all. I'm like, shut up, devil. I have to tell him, shut up. Shut up. I have nothing unless he gives it to me. I have nothing. I've seen the most intelligent, degreed people fumble. I'm telling you, watch him in your ear. Watch the enemy in your ear puffing you up. And I just feel led to say to parents, watch when he's trying to talk to you about your kids. The enemy, oh, that's my child. So I'm going to let the Holy Spirit minister to you concerning your children. You know, I see the enemy just trying to steal our kids. Stealing them. While we're not praying, he's stealing them. Because we're not using our spiritual weapons. We think we got this. We got to pray, folks. I feel that such a heavy conviction as I look at the generation that's, you know, coming up right now. You know, I'm like, Lord, we got to pray. We got to pray. They don't know. They think they know, but they don't know. So we need the rock. We need the rock. We need the rock. The scripture says, O you who are enthroned in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. Basically, this is the scripture that says God is enthroned in the praises of Israel, the praises of his people. The best way to ensure that God's presence inhabits our prayer closets is to fill, and that should be them, with praise. Praise is prayer, folks. Fill them with praise. I love praise because praise is so powerful, because you can praise when your heart's broken. You put on praise and it changes the atmosphere. That's the power of praise. It changes the atmosphere for you. Because your heart's broken and your heart's heavy. Your heart's angry. Put on praise. Because God is enthroned in the praise.
Praise and thanksgiving.
And thanksgiving. I'm telling you, start praising and watch God come on in there with you. And everything lifts. This is a fact. That's how you deal with emotions. You know, the Lord had to teach me that. He said, just as an act of your will, I know you're angry. I know you're mad and could spit nails. But as an act of your will, turn on the praise. And watch those demons leave. And then I can speak to your heart. And you can change. You don't have to be this way. He's enthroned on the praises of Israel. And not only our prayer closets, but our days, our moments as we face the battles. We pray and we praise without ceasing. The scripture says pray without ceasing, but praise is prayer. So we praise and we pray without ceasing. Through the pain, we praise. Through the temporary setbacks, we praise. Because we know that he is faithful. Hallelujah, who promised. He is faithful who promised. Praise becomes a vital quality of praying effectively in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the rock. Praise is a vital quality. Praise him, worship him. Rita was saying, thanksgiving. Thank him. Thank him for the moment. Even that moment where your heart's breaking. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because I know you got this. I'm thanking you now. There was a song that we used to sing a long time ago, and the words went, don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now, because you know in the end you're going to win. And it was an interesting song. Don't wait until it's over. Shout now. Dance now. Because you know in the end, you're going to win. And that's what God calls us to do, because it shows him such great faith when you praise him in the pain. I'm telling you, it shows such great faith when you praise him in the pain. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I dare you to try that. I mean, I don't wish any heartache on anybody. But he said, in the world you shall have tribulation. So the next time it comes, I dare you to praise him. And watch the difference. Watch the difference. He will enter in and he will make the difference for you. And our final point on this, the beautiful thing and the powerful thing about praise is that it will take over when your heart is so beaten and so broken that there are no more words to speak. Praise will pick up your spirit and carry it into the very presence of God, and everything is all right. He will take care of that. He will take care of that. Everything will be all right when you praise. The situation hasn't resolved. Nothing's changed. You still don't have the money. You still don't know what you're going to do tomorrow, but you change. And he takes over because you've invited him in. You've invited him in. I mean, this is a free will thing. you know, if you don't invite him in, he'll wait. And as soon as you invite him in, he's there. He's there. So any comments? Go forth. Oh, wait a minute. We have one more. We have one more comment there. Let me give his last comment in. And I think I just said the situation has not changed as far as you can see, but you know your spirit, knows that everything is all right. And the scriptures declare, from the ends of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hallelujah. Don't you love David?
Yes.
This is stuff he wrote. From the ends of the earth, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, and everything is all right. Everything's all right. Everything is all right. Any comments?
You were talking about how the Lord holds us in the cleft of the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I lost my husband 7 months
yes.
ago, and I thought my world was going to end that day. I got to the point after everything was done and over with. I didn't want to leave the house. I didn't want to do anything. And all I could hear was that my grace is sufficient for you. And you talk about turning on the praise. I go in my prayer room because I have a prayer room. And I turn on the music, and he pulled me through all of that.
Wow.
And one day I was saying, Lord, who do I belong to? I don't have anybody. He says, you belong to me.
Mm-hmm.
And God is faithful. God is so faithful. I don't know how I would have done it if I didn't know Christ.
Yes. Yes. It makes all the difference.
It does.
I mean, you feel like nothing can move this pain.
That's right.
I haven't faced that, but I know what it feels like to have that big hole in your heart and you don't think anything can change it. And then he comes along and oh my goodness, he makes it all right. He makes it all right. Anybody else?
Well, what I'd like to do is to just thank this group because I've asked for a prayer for a man by the name of Charlie. Charlie Terrell, he's one of my friends. We celebrated his 86th birthday.
Wow.
And he's been on dialysis for 4 years. And due to the fact they didn't have a clinic in Buena Vista or Salida, he had to drive every week to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd have to go through 3 dialysis treatments. And they say that those treatments are pretty similar to chemo,
mm-hmm.
what it does to you. So you can imagine somebody taking a chemo treatment on Saturday, resting up, driving to Buena Vista on Sunday, and then turning around and driving back again to Denver on Monday.
Wow.
He's had to do that for a year and a half at a cost to him at about $4,000 a month, plus what it was doing to him physically. And so we were praying that they would open this clinic in Salida. And I had no idea how difficult that was, really. And so I went up there and picked him up for his 86th birthday, drove him to BV, celebrated his birthday with some friends, and took him back. And it was tough enough for me to do that, let alone him. But my point to this is, yesterday he called me, and he wanted to share some good news with me. Of course, the clinic did open a week ago in Salida. So he's able to go to the clinic. This week he was able to drive himself to the clinic. But yesterday he called me and said that he was down by the river with his dog, Ella, named after Ella Fitzgerald. She's a Labrador, loves to swim in the river, and in a ditch there. So he's down there by the Arkansas River, sitting on a rock in the sunshine. Flowers all around the place, just growing naturally. And thanking God that he delivered him. But in the middle of this, Cindy had a book that she wanted me to give to him called The 100 Portraits of Christ. And I was just asking God to give him something to read during these treatements.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what he's been reading for the last month.
Praise God.
So God answers prayer.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you, God will build a clinic just for you.
I'll let you know.
Anybody else?
That's for Jim. When we were talking
about how the Lord talks to us and for us to listen and be obedient. I remember my mom, it was on Mother's Day, and we were going to have a barbecue for her.
So I was putting out vases of flowers out on the tables, and all the family was there. And as I was putting these vases, the Lord spoke to my mom and told me that she won't be here next week. As I was putting out the, and I just kind of thought,
okay, I knew where it was coming from. I knew God was letting me know to prepare. And she left with Jesus in September, same year. I guess what I'm saying is that God speaks to us, and sometimes we don't want to hear it because we're not ready to face a lot of this stuff. So I just say, when the Lord speaks to us, listen, and then pray for the for what's coming.
Yeah.
Because God has always been faithful in that area to all of us, and over he does in the Word of God. But I guess with a person, when a person is not ready, as I wasn't at one time, not saved, not ready, not knowing, it's hell on earth, Sister Karen.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to keep in mind, there. The only reason I sit here today is because somebody was praying for me. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. That's why we have to continue praying and stay in prayer. Repeat prayer. Don't wait for the storm to hit to not know what to do. Know what to do. Because God will give you the right words, the right way, the right strength, the courage, everything you need for the time. But it was kind of strange to hear that voice. And I wasn't really into a whole lot of communicating. But when I heard him say that, I knew it was him.
Yeah. Wow.
And then I just thought, okay.
Wow.
But it was a good Mother's Day.
Yeah, it was a
last Mother's Day, but it was a nice Mother's Day.
Wow. He prepares you.
He prepares you.
He gets you ready. Yeah. I've heard similar stories to that, you know, how God prepared.
But I have a question. How do you always discern, like, how did you know that was the Lord and not Satan trying to damper the day you were having?
Because I know that Satan would never, he could care less about my mother.
Mm-hmm. Or you having a special last Mother's Day.
Satan could care less about us, Terry. But if he could have dampened my day, he would have wanted my foot. No, I felt it. And I knew that it was God speaking to my heart.
But I don't know how you always can discern.
You know when it's him. It's just like you say, how do I know I'm saved? I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved.
And
that's why how you know.
And what I find all the time, Terry, God will confirm.
And yes.
He confirmed. Yes. Anytime he spoke to me, I know what you're saying, that you feel kind of like, okay, was that God or was that just me? Was that just something in my mind? He confirms it.
Yeah.
He confirms it, you know. And sometimes I'm like, Lord, if, you know, and I'll say, Lord, if this is you, please confirm this. And he will. He will. He's faithful to confirm what he is saying. You know, all the many times, guys, that we, you know, we do our lesson in here and then they talk about it in the sanctuary.
Yes,
you know, that's God saying it twice. You know, and not just this class. I've heard it from other classes too, that they talked about things in their class and then they would go into the service or go to other service and it would be said again. That's God saying it again and saying it twice. And that's what I mean about paying attention. If God is saying it twice, he's confirming, you know, because he knows your heart. He knows I want to listen to you. I want to obey you. But I want to be certain, you know, so, excuse me. So,
he will.
You do. And Virginia is correct. The enemy's never going to tell you anything that's going to help you.
okay? You know, that helped her to have a very special last Mother's Day with her mom, you know? So, and they made the day extra special because of that word, you know? And that's how you kind of know, you know, this is the Lord.
No, and it didn't hurt me when it happened at first, but it didn't hurt me like it would have if it would have been
the Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So God is good. God will let you know, Terry. You know, someone once told me that God will never let his children be deceived. And I believe that. I believe, because he will catch you and he'll, wait a minute. That wasn't me. This is the way. Walk in this way. You know, he'll catch you. You know.
How can God, you feel like everything's going to be okay when the situation hasn't changed and you have the people, you know, that there's nothing to change? I guess that you know everything will be okay because you have peace of God. And like with Jean, I don't know, twice this week, yesterday and the day, a couple days during the week, he had a really good day and all of a sudden he started banging his head and for no reason. And last night he was mad. He wanted to throw his dinner away and I told him, no, you're not going to throw it away. And then he started banging his head and I put my hand over his head so he wouldn't bang his head, and he scratched me and he bit me and he wouldn't let go. The only way I can give him to let go when he bites is when I have to bite him back, but I couldn't bite him back. But he hasn't bitten me in a long time. But then after he bangs his head and because I had my hand like this, he doesn't want you to stop him from banging. After he bangs his head, then like a few minutes later, I know I'm supposed to advocate for him and pray, but yesterday I was just so frustrated that I wasn't in a very good mood to be encouraging because I wanted him to stop. But then afterwards, like 5, 10, 15 minutes later, he'll sit there and he'll smile and he'll laugh. And they say kids with autism don't talk and stuff, but like Gene and you said before, he doesn't have the ability to know when you feel pain. But he knew I was mad at him. And he knew I was mad at him. Rachel said, he knows you're mad at him. But I guess, does God somehow give him the peace, even though I don't know if he praises inside, because, you know, we don't know what he's doing inside, but does God give him, how can he bang his head and bite somebody like that, and then a few minutes later, he'll be laughing, and he's perfectly fine. He had a good day yesterday, he had a good day the other day before he did it. So I don't know if he, or does God just give him the peace because he knows that.
Yeah, and there's
like
several,
I don't know what goes on.
And there are several questions in there, Margaret, and some of them will take a while to answer. You know, but I think the response to it is the same. That yeah, you can turn on the praise and worship.
Or am I supposed to
bring
praise for him when he's doing that?
Well, you can pray for him, but if you're upset, but when something like that is going on and you've got all this activity, I mean, you're bleeding because and you've been bitten, and of course your emotions are feeling a certain way. That's what I mean when I say turn on the praise and worship.
He doesn't feel the pain. You know? I don't know if Matthew really
does that. That's for a different time. But I know that God will enter into the situation. He'll enter into your home.
So why do you think he's, like, afterwards, then he's laughing and you think God gave him peace? Because I don't know what's going through his mind.
Yeah, that's hard to answer. That's hard to answer,
Margaret. Because
then 15
Margaret. Minutes later, half an hour later, he'll be laughing like nothing ever happened.
Because that's hard to answer, you have to go with the things that you are certain of. The Word of God says that God inhabits, is enthroned on the praises of Israel or the praises of his people.
But sometimes
so,
I don't praise him.
Listen.
He's sitting there banging his head and acting up.
Listen. So as you want to invite the presence of God into your home, turn on that praise and worship. Even after it happened. You know, everybody's feeling bad. You're feeling bad. But just turn on that praise and that worship. And let the presence of the Lord just come into your home. You know,
so
that's what you do.
So it's a mystery why he can hurt himself, not feel it, and then be...
There are things that we may not...
He'll be laughing afterwards, like...
Yeah.
You know, it's over.
Yeah, there are things that we will never understand on this side of heaven. There are things that we won't understand, but all we can do is go by what his word says.
You don't know why, and you don't know, maybe God texted him or said something to him in his spirit.
I don't know. That's something you're going to have to ask Jesus one day, okay? On the other side. But what we do know, we do what we know. And what we do know is that we praise. And we pray without ceasing. And we praise without ceasing. And it does make the difference.
But sometimes you don't feel like praising.
I know.
You're dealing with the headbanger and
yes.
And you
I know exactly what you're talking about. But that's when that's what we're talking about, today's lesson. That's when you do it anyways. You do it with a broken heart. You do it with your hand bleeding. You do it, you know, and you praise God and let His Spirit change the atmosphere of the room. Even in someone that has a disability, the praise will change the atmosphere of the room.
I don't know why he does these things. The other day, yeah, he likes to tease Sam and he, yeah, just screams.
Let's talk. We got to pray and we got to dismiss. So let's talk afterwards, though, okay? Lord, we just thank You for Your goodness and we thank You for Your mercy. Father, we thank You for the rock, Lord, because we know that the rock,
hallelujah,
makes all the difference, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Father, even as we hear the testimonies of situations, Lord God, but then Your Holy Spirit can come and make all of the difference, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would be reminded as we see the storm on the horizon, Lord, that we would be reminded to pray before the storm gets there, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would be proactive warriors and not reactive warriors, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would be strengthened in Your word and in Your will, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that our faith would be in the rock and not in ourselves and not in the situation, Lord, but our faith would be in the rock. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.